Amen. God bless you. Genesis chapter 37 this morning. Genesis chapter 37. Appreciate you being here. God bless you. As the Word of God is being opened, let's have our hearts calmed and our souls stilled, asking the Lord to speak to us. Genesis chapter 37. We'll read beginning in verse number 18. I'm preaching through this entire chapter today, verse by verse, word by word. I'm kidding, folks, okay? Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. When they saw him afar off, him being Joseph, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dream." Skip down to verse number 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." In verse number 20 and verse number 33, we see a phrase, the phrase "evil beast." And today I take the quote directly from verse 33 as the title of my message, and we preach on an evil beast. An evil beast. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Please help me to relay the message that you have relayed to me. And I pray that you help me to be faithful to your word, not adding one thing of my own. Lord, I pray that you deal with us thoroughly. Challenge us. Show us what we need to see. Speak to us, please. And help me today to be a spirit-filled preacher. Forgive me for hindering you in any way, in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time we met in this book was Wednesday night, when we finished chapter 35, in which we gleaned some very wonderful lessons for life. Chapter 36, we're going to go over that chapter. One of the main reasons is because that chapter is basically just the generations of Esau, Jacob's brother. Now, there are some lessons to learn in that chapter, but I just felt God leading me to begin the study of Joseph's life in chapter 37 today. But I do challenge you to go back and read chapter 36, because you can glean some great things there as well. Today we come to chapter 37 in our study through this book of Genesis. And a young man by the name of Joseph, Rachel's oldest son, is brought out for our attention. His life dominates the remaining chapters of the book of Genesis. And through our study about Joseph and the events of his life, we will see there's no one more like Christ in his person and in his experiences. There are unquestionably many similarities between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus Christ. As we come to this particular chapter, we see Joseph is 17 years old. He's a teenager. How many teenagers do we have in the building? Would you raise your hand? Joseph is a teenager when we come to this chapter. He is feeding the flock with his brothers, and Joseph saw firsthand. Now we're going to go back and read some of this, but just stay with me. I'm just paraphrasing. Joseph saw firsthand how ungodly and wicked his brothers were, and therefore came and told their daddy so that he may know and hopefully do something about their wickedness. By the way, Joseph is not being a tattletale here, even though some people try to claim he is, but Joseph is a faithful steward of his father's authority. And Joseph was a teenager who was reliable. He was a teenager who was trustworthy. He was a teenager who had personal integrity and holiness. He was a 17-year-old young man who was pure and holy and godly in the midst of his evil brothers. He lived among brothers guilty of murder, chapter 34 taught us that. He lived among brothers who were guilty of incest, chapter 35 taught us that. And he lived among brothers that did so many other ungodly things that we'll see as we progress through this study. He has given himself to the Lord. And what I'm saying to you is, even though his brothers are ungodly and living against God, we see that Joseph, a teenager, is living in a different way. And I'm going to tell you something before I proceed to the main thought of the message. Let me say this to the teenagers listening right now. as this world goes deeper and deeper in sin, and as this nation gets deeper and deeper in sin, and as your peers live a life of disobedience to our great God, as a majority are doing their own thing, you can still live for God Almighty. Determine to be another Joseph, and determine to be a teenager that if the whole world turns against God, you're going to be known as a teenager of integrity and character and purity and holiness and righteousness. God, give us teenagers like that. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. By the way, if you decide to be a Joseph in the midst of an evil generation, not all are going to be excited about it. And that's what this chapter here is about. We see in this chapter how living for God will bring persecution. After all, this is what God's word even says, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. As this chapter unfolds, we see Joseph's brothers have a bitter hatred for him and an envious spirit towards him and his dreams. Because of their hatred and envy of him, they concoct a plan to get rid of Joseph by selling him to merchant men passing by on their way to Egypt. These ungodly brothers planned to tell their father that an evil beast had killed Joseph in verse number 20. In other words, they wanted to kill him at first, and before they decided to sell him instead, they said, let's kill him and then we will take his coat from him and we'll dip it in blood and we'll convince our daddy that an evil beast had done this to him. They stripped Joseph out of his coat when he came to them. They dipped that coat in a goat's blood and sent the coat to their father. Jacob, the daddy, came to the conclusion when he saw the blood upon his son's coat. He said, an evil beast has certainly devoured him. This is found in verse 33. Let me ask you a question. Was that true that an evil beast had devoured Joseph? I submit to you that it was true. It was not an animal in the field, but it was an evil beast in the heart of the brothers. And today I want to preach to you on an evil beast. By the way, this word evil means bad. It means calamity. It means grievous. It means hurtful. It means misery. It means sorrow. It means trouble. It means wretched. This word devoured here, an evil beast hath devoured him. And even the brothers say, hey, we're going to tell them an evil beast hath devoured. That word devour means to consume, to eat. And while it was not an evil beast in the field that tried to devour Joseph, it was an evil beast in these brothers' hearts that came out to destroy Joseph. It was an evil beast of hatred and the evil beast of jealousy. And before you think you never deal with this, friends, let me remind you that we all deal with envy. And we all deal with potential jealousy. And if that jealousy is not brought under subjection, it will begin to turn into hatred. And this beast of jealousy and hatred is truly an evil beast. As a matter of fact, let's just show you a couple of things from this chapter. We're going to read a lot of this chapter throughout this message, but notice verse number 4 of this. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, notice this, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. What that phrase means, according to my study, is how they would greet each other just like a passing by. Just like today, if you pass somebody in the hallway, hey, don't stick your head down. Look them right in the face, say, hey, how you doing? God bless you today. Be friendly, be kind. But these brothers, they refused to speak peaceably to their own brother. They hated him. Look at verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Look at verse number 8. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Look at verse 11. And his brethren envied him. Jealousy envied him. But his father observed the saying. Today I preach to you on the evil beast of jealousy and hatred. There's three things I want you to see in this text about this evil beast. Number one, we notice the causes of it. The evil beast causes. This is found in verses 2 through 11. Let's read this together and then we'll emphasize this together here. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed?" By the way, this is off the subject, but I heard Brother Keith Kaiser preach on this thought. What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? What is this that God has put in your heart? And he said, there's three things. This is completely off the subject. I hate doing that, but this is pretty good right here. He preached on three things that the devil tries to use to stop the dreams of Joseph. He tried to use family problems. We're going to preach on that today. He tried to use filthy propositions from Potiphar's wife. And he tries to use financial prosperity, trying to get him to accept something that he knows he should never accept. And what I'm saying to you is, these dreams that he's dreaming, this is God ministering to his heart. This is God revealing truth to him. It says, "Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. In these verses 2 to 11, we see two major causes for this evil beast that came out and reared its ugly head in the lives of his brothers. First of all, the first cause was Israel's favor. Israel is Jacob. We see this in verses 3 and 4. See, the Bible tells us that Israel loved Jacob more than all the others and made him a coat of many colors. This coat was given in recognition of his position of overseer for the family. See, the birthright had been taken away from Reuben. We've already preached on that, and given to Joseph. And the brothers saw their father's favor toward Joseph, and the evil beast came out in their minds. By the way, this evil beast of hatred and envy always starts in the mind. What I'm saying to you is, yes, it will come out in their actions, but it all started in their heart and in their mind. They saw that their daddy loved him more than he loved them. By the way, yes, all daddies can learn this lesson. Be careful of favoritism. But this is not the thought that I'm trying to get across here. Here's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that when they saw the father's favor on him, they got jealous of him. And they hated him. It's been said the time to deal with jealousy. Now get this, friends. The time to deal with jealousy is when you notice yourself keeping score of others' recognition, of others' awards, and of others' achievements. While Jacob showing favor to Joseph above the others has been debated whether that was good or bad, let us stay on track with the thought of an evil beast coming out due to the honor given to somebody other than self. Let me tell you, when this evil beast tries to rear its ugly head, when somebody else gets the glory. When somebody else gets the honor, somebody else is recognized, somebody else is being praised, watch out. That's when the evil beast tries to come out. Its causes: Israel's favor. Number two, Joseph's dreams. This is the causes of it. Israel's favor. They didn't like it that somebody else was above them in their daddy's eyes. Number two, they didn't like it that Joseph had dreams. We see this in verses 5 to 11. I've already read it, not going to read it again, but you can be reading it as I kind of explain it if you want. See, Joseph dreamed a dream and shared it with his brothers. It has been debated, should he have shared it with his brothers? I mean, they hated him anyway, and now he comes and says, "Oh, by the way, you're going to bow down to me someday, boys." All I'm saying to you though is this. This first dream, they were binding sheaves, and Joseph's sheaf arose, stood upright, and the other sheaves stood round about the sheaf and bowed to it. See, these brothers hated him. They already hated him for his father's favor on him. But now this dream that he was carrying in his heart only fed this evil beast. The Bible says they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. The Bible says Joseph then dreamed another dream and told it to them also. In this dream, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed to him. See, Jacob, Israel, and the brothers knew exactly what this dream meant. And his daddy rebuked him, and his brothers envied him, the Bible says. Here's what I'm trying to get across here, friends. These dreams were given to him by God. They were what we call prophetic dreams in nature. Get this. They were the word of God for Joseph. You say, hey, I had a dream last night. You ate too much pizza, friends. We got to remember something today. We don't rely on dreams. Because we have the finished word of the living God. Amen. Joseph didn't have God's word. Joseph didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the rest of the Old Testament. So God would speak to his children through dreams and visions. You with me what I'm saying here? The point is, Joseph was a man of spiritual vision. He was one who was receiving revelation from God. God was speaking to him, and then he was taking what God was saying and giving it to others. However, this evil beast came out because these brothers could not stand the thought of bowing to him. Somebody put it this way, if you're not prepared to suffer for your vision, you might as well forget about dreaming about anything. There are those today who hate and envy the ones who have a vision for God. There are those today who cannot stand somebody who goes to the Word of God and believes it and says, God said we can do this, so let's trust Him and go ahead. The evil beast of hatred and jealousy comes out against those who see something for God that God has said and then shares His message to the world. Now, while hopefully you're not in this group who hate those who relay God's truth, because I'm one of those ones who relay God's truth to you, and you're here, I hope you're not here because you hate me. You understand what I'm saying? But we all can learn this lesson. That there's an evil beast in all of us who desires to be number one. What made them hate him is because they didn't want to be under him. God said, he was prophetic in nature. God knew what he was doing. He was revealing his will and his word to Joseph. Joseph just simply takes what God told him and shares it with his brothers. But the evil beast of envy, the evil beast of hatred is alive and well in them. And they would not bow to another person. They wanted to be number one in their life. They didn't want to submit to anybody. By the way, everybody has biblical authority in their lives. Everybody does. I have biblical authority. You have biblical authority. And if somebody does not like to submit to authority that God has told them to submit to, that is the evil beast I'm speaking about. It's called envy. It's called I want to be calling the shots. Number one, it's causes. Number two, let's notice it's conspiracy. We see this in verses 18 and following. Notice, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they, here it is, conspired, conspiracy. They conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, and that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicer and balm and myrrh going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh. and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Israel sent Joseph to check on his brothers. That's all he did. The daddy said, Joseph, I want you to go to Shechem and find your brothers. They're feeding the flock there. Joseph submitted to his father. By the way, teenager, that's a great lesson for you. There's no question. This is a hard, long journey. It'd take him a while to get there, but there's no questioning his daddy. He says yes, and he goes. When he got there, he finds out that his brothers are not there, but they've traveled to Dothan. When Joseph came near to them, the Bible says they conspired against him. You know what a conspiracy is? A conspiracy is an evil, unlawful, treacherous plan formulated in secret by two or more persons. It is a plot with evil intent. That's what a conspiracy is. This is exactly what we see taking place in the council of these brothers who had an evil beast of hatred and envy unleashed against their own brother. They wanted to kill him for his dreams. But Reuben heard it and talked him out of it and talked him into throwing him into a pit. When Joseph came to them, they stripped him out of his coat of many colors and cast him like a piece of garbage into an empty pit with no water in it. They didn't care once they threw him in that pit if he died from exposure or died from lack of sustenance. Later on in this book, we see during this time that Joseph was begging them. He was greatly afflicted and distressed. Matter of fact, hold your place here. Turn to chapter 42 of this book. And let's get a little bit further light about what happened. In other words, once Joseph got to them and they took him out of his coat and they threw him into that pit, chapter 42, verse 21 gives us a little bit of insight about what happened there. And they said one to another, "We are very, verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us?" In other words, it's brought out right there that when they throw him into that pit, that he is pleading, he is screaming, he is begging them for mercy. In other words, hear him as they throw him into the bottom of that pit, and he realizes that something bad, wrong, something's terribly wrong here. All he has is carrying God's vision on his heart. All he has is his father's favor upon his life. He's got God's promises, but now his brothers, his own flesh, have turned against him and stripped him from his coat and thrown him into the bottom of this pit. And the Bible says he's screaming, he's pleading, please. But notice what they did in verse number 25. They sat down to eat bread. Glory. While Joseph is pleading with them for mercy, these ungodly brothers with an evil beast of hatred and envy sit down to eat. How hardened their hearts are toward their brother. These ungodly brothers saw merchant men on their way to Egypt. So they decided instead of killing him, let's try to make a little bit of profit off of him. So they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. That was the price for a slave. This conspiracy led them to cruel actions, wouldn't you agree? It's been said envy tends to make men hard-hearted and cruel, to root out natural affection and awaken the most malignant and murderous passions. I'm simply telling you that this evil beast conspires to get its way. This evil beast has no feelings. This evil beast will do anything it can to hurt the one that the evil beast hates. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you find yourself with the evil beast of envy and hatred toward another, get honest. And please get on your face and beg God to deliver you from it. Because if that evil beast is left to itself, you will find it taking over your heart to the point that you become so cruel and try to make a profit for yourself at the expense of somebody just carrying the vision of God in their heart. You'll find yourself sitting down to eat while the others are screaming for mercy. It truly is an evil beast, friends. And we all must guard against it. Number one, its causes. What caused this evil beast? These brothers said, hey, let's kill him. And what we'll do is we'll take his coat and dip it in blood, and then we will tell our daddy, an evil beast hath done this. Reuben talks him out of it. And they decide to take an empty well, an empty pit, if you will. They see him coming to them, and they take him and they rip his coat off of him. And they throw him, they cast him. It's the idea of hurling. They hurled him into that pit. He's screaming for mercy, screaming for help. He's distressed. He's in anguish. He's scared to death. He doesn't know what's taking place. Something's bad, wrong. His family's turning against him. And instead of having mercy and bowels of mercy moving, they sit down with food. Their appetite's doing just fine. Ungodliness. Wickedness. And they say to themselves, hey, let's not kill him. After all, he's our brother. Here's some merchant men. Hey, I'll tell you what, maybe we can get some money for our pockets through this. Envy, jealousy, hatred. They tell Joseph what they think about him by just charging 20 pieces of silver. And as far as they're concerned, they are done with him. They're finished. They'll never see him again. Paul's story continues later. But let's go back to our message. That's for a later message. They think they're done with him, but they're not. But let's go back to the third major point of the message. Are you ready for it? This evil beast causes. This evil beast conspiracy. And number three, this evil beast consequence. Now I'm going to read this, and as we read it, you're going to say, where's the consequence? I don't see it. It's hidden. And it's brought out later. Do I have your appetite wed just a little bit right there, friends? What was the consequence for this beast? Read verse 29 and following with me, please. Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped dipped the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, an evil beast that devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Now notice the hypocrisy in verse number 35. And all his sons, these boys that did this and his daughters, rose up to comfort him. Does that not grip you like it grips? How ungodly are these boys, friends? Their daddy's heart's been ripped out of his chest. He thinks his beloved son Joseph has been killed, and they try to comfort him. Oh, it'll be okay. And they're the ones that concocted this whole plan. Notice, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. I know, I told you. Where's the consequence there? Here's what I'm saying. These brothers hated Joseph. They couldn't stand the thought of their father loving him more than he loved them. They couldn't stand the thought of his God-given dreams, and they refused the thought that they would ever be under Joseph, that they would ever submit themselves to Joseph. This evil beast of jealousy and hatred was taking over their lives. They conspired against him. They wanted to kill him, but rather sold him into slavery. They thought they were finally rid of him. However, they're going to learn the lesson that there are consequences attached to giving in to this evil beast. These boys concoct a story to get their father to believe a lie. They took Joseph's coat of many colors and killed a goat and dipped the coat in the goat's blood. And when Jacob saw the coat, he assumed Joseph had been killed by an evil beast. Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth upon himself, and mourned for many days. These boys even lied and deceived to the point that they tried to comfort their daddy. What deception. What lies. Here, get this. How evil is this beast? It is so evil that they didn't care that their daddy's heart was broken. They didn't care that their daddy could potentially go to an early grave because of this. Get this, friends. It would be over 20 years before they're reunited. You read casually through the Word of God, you may not pick that up, but the next time they see their brother, and the next time that Jacob is going to be reunited with his son, who he thinks is dead, it's over 20 years later. Stay with me here. One may at first glance think these boys had gotten by with this. They may seem like they're on cloud nine. However, we see from the Word of God that there was a great consequence to their submitting to this evil beast. They would live with what has been called a terrible tyrant. And that terrible tyrant is guilt. As a matter of fact, we've already read it, but in chapter 42, verse number 21, this is when they're standing before Joseph. They don't realize who he is. And notice this is 20 plus years later. This is 20 plus years later. And notice what they say in chapter 42 and verse number 21. Here's, and they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, that we saw the anguish of his soul when we besought us. When he besought us, we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? They're saying we're guilty. I'm telling you, my friends, that one person put it this way, the persecutors did not escape their own evil. Joseph suffered years of cruelty. Yes, he did. Joseph's father suffered years of sorrow. Yes, he did. But Joseph's brother suffered too. They suffered years of guilt. Guilt weighed upon them like a terrible burden. Even 20 years after the deed, they could not shake the awful guilt. It drives men insane. It causes suicide. It takes all the pleasure out of life. There's no profit in evil that will compensate for the burden of guilt one will experience because of his evil. And friends, may I tell you that even after chapter 42, yes, later they find that this is Joseph that they're speaking to, and you know the story, hopefully, how Joseph tenderly forgives them. We'll preach on that in detail when we get to it, but he tenderly deals with them. He forgives them. He tells them, listen, hey, it was God that sent me here. You meant it for evil, but God meant this for good. But yet we see that after Jacob dies. In other words, they have gone even past chapter 42. And Jacob lived several years in Egypt. And after several years of knowing that Joseph was there and that Joseph said he forgave them, yet in chapter 50, verses 15 to 17, we see, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Don't you see the thought here, friends? Hey, all they could see is that they don't like this boy. They hate him. They can't stand him. And the evil beast starts welling up in their hearts, in their minds. They do not confess it. They do not forsake it. And their actions, I'm talking about their thoughts, become sinful actions. And they take it out on him. They strip him. They throw him into a pit. They sit down and eat lunch while he's screaming, and they concoct a plan that rips their daddy's heart out of their chest, and they think they're done with him. But 20 plus years later, they're still guilty. And then after that, after Joseph said, "I've forgiven you," when their daddy dies, they go right back and say, "We did you evil. Hey, our daddy said," they're lying here, they're trying to cover that. Listen, it is not worth it, friends. It's not worth it. It is not worth giving in to the evil beast, because this evil beast brings with it the terrible tyrant of guilt, shame, and degradation. Somebody said, "How the persecutors suffer." It was not worth the guilt they carried for years. Friends, there's always consequences to sin. I don't care what sin it is, there's always consequences to it. In our text, we see specifically there's a consequence of the evil beast of jealousy and envy. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. James 3:16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." 1 John 2:11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." 1 John 3:15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." 1 John 4:20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" You know what the whole message is today, friends? It's basically one statement. I know what you're thinking. Why don't you just give the one statement, shut your mouth, and let us get out of here 30 minutes ago? Here's the whole message in a nutshell. Let us love one another and put the evil beast of envy and hatred to death. Somebody says, "Jody, how do you do it?" Here it is. Write it down. 1 Peter 2:1-3. Listen to this. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies," there it is, "and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." There's the Bible answer. How do we lay it aside? How do we lay aside malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings? Convert to a newborn baby and take the bottle of God's word and drink it every day of your life. An evil beast tried to devour Joseph. And may I tell you that that same evil beast is alive and well. And we all must be on guard against it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. Help us to obey what you've given us to do. And I pray that you'll take this simple thought here of an evil beast trying to devour one of your children and deal with us thoroughly. Deal with us thoroughly. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I have some questions to ask, and we're going to proceed with the invitation. Question number one, are you a child of God? Has there been a time in your life where you have trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know without a doubt that if you drop dead, or if the Lord came back today, that your eternal abode is heaven? You don't hope so, you don't think so, you know so, because you have trusted Christ and Christ alone. If you can say, "I'm glad I know that, I'm glad I'm saved, I'm glad I'm not relying on my good works, or my baptism, or my church membership, I'm relying on the finished work of Christ on Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection. I've accepted the gift of eternal life. I know I am saved." If you can say that with Bible assurity, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? So I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hands right back down. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me? I don't have that assurance. I don't know that for sure. But it sure would be great to put my head on my pillow tonight knowing that heaven is my home. Is there one today? We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you intentionally at all whatsoever. You have my word for that. But is there one to say, Jody, pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I realize it's nothing to fool with. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm saved. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. Now, this is a hard thing to respond to. May I say something to you, friends? We all deal with this evil beast. All of us. Some at different times in life. Some deal with it more than others, but everybody has a tendency to deal with this beast. This beast is simply not rejoicing at the successes of others. It's being jealous. And that jealousy can turn into hatred. Have you be honest and say, but by the way, it all starts with God by being honest. When you get honest with God, business picks up. It really does. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest today. This evil beast is alive in me. I'm not asking you to come confess that to me. It's none of my business. But if you can think of somebody right now that you're envious of, somebody says, I just don't think I'm envious. Well, just search your heart, friends. Because some people who are guilty of envy don't even realize it. Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me about this evil beast. Say, would you pray for me? You might be a teenager that has your eye on another teenager and you're jealous. I don't know. But you say, Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me about this evil beast. He's dealing with me about this. He's speaking directly to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with me? Be honest, friends. You say, God is speaking to me. God bless you. God bless you. Those are hands. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord help you. Come in just a moment. Talk to Him about it. Would you do it? If you need some help, let us know. We'll help you any way we can. Teenagers, let me deal with you a minute. Are you a Joseph? Are you a teenager in the midst of wickedness? You have integrity. You have character. You're living a life of purity. Maybe some of you teenagers need to get on your face and beg God, God, make me a Joseph. Make me a Joseph. That if everybody else goes wrong, I'm going right. Or maybe today God's speaking to you about your dreams, your vision. Whatever God's dealing with you about, come. Let's do business with Him. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it any way you see fit. In Jesus' name, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As Brother Gary begins to sing in just a moment, teenager, you come. One who's dealing with the evil beast, you come. If you want to come, get on your face, say, God, reveal your vision in my heart. Come. Take the sincere milk of the Word of God and feast on it on a daily basis. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Would you do that, please? Do
you business. Have longed for
say, God has spoken to me.
Come and talk for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Our Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to you. Help us to be just like a newborn baby, desiring the milk of your word. that we may grow thereby. Deliver us from the evil beast of jealousy and the evil beast of hatred. And I pray that you help the teenagers who are listening to be burdened to be another Joseph. And we pray that you help us to dream dreams for God, to trust you for what you want to do. Help us not to be mediocre, but to be all out, I pray. Bless this church, these precious people, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite all the deacons, if you'll make your way up here just a moment, if you're here.